It's 94.3 The Shark, online at 94.3theshark.com. My name's Rob Rush, and on the line with me, a gentleman whose voice you've been familiar with for well over 30 years, and this is a follow-up to a 2019 album, self-titled, called Sweet Oblivion. And if you read the trade blabbermouth.net, they did say of the first album that it takes fans back to a musical landscape that was very similar to Jeff Tate's work with Queensryche in the 1980s. And what's important to point out, though, is it's not a reboot like in Hollywood, where they do all these reboots, but this is a new take on a familiar sound. And without further ado, here is Jeff Tate. What's going on, buddy?
Doing okay, Rob. How's life out in Long Island?
It's interesting times, we'll say that.
Yeah, it really is. It's happening, you know, all over the country now, and in other countries too. It's exciting to see, you know, that the world's going to return to some kind of new normal, but, you know, something that we can all be comfortable with, you know. So happy, finally. It's been a rough winter, huh?
It's been a rough, like I said, over a year. Now, where are you calling from?
Yeah. Seattle.
And how are things in Seattle, in Washington State?
Well, pandemic-wise, they're kind of the same. You know, we're easing restrictions now. The larger capacity shows are going to be okay now, except for, you know, I think the cap is like 22,000 or something like that. You can't go past that. But, yeah, it's all getting to a very comfortable, you know, new normal, I guess.
Excuse me if I'm not familiar, but Sweet Oblivion, it's not a project that you started. This was a band that recruited you. Tell me the backstory of this, because this is not under the moniker of Operation Mindcrime, which you also had a few years ago.
No, it's something different. It's a project that was at my request. I was working with Frontier Records out of Italy on an album that I had out a couple years ago called Operation Mindcrime. And, you know, since my time with Queensryche was over, I was interested in doing different projects with different people and working with different musicians and producers. And I was talking with Mario at the record label, and I said, you know, I'm interested in doing this. Can you keep me in mind if you have any projects that come up? And a couple years later, he got back to me and said, you know, I've got this idea for, it's called Sweet Oblivion, and I'm basically just going to put you with different producers and different musicians and kind of see what happens, you know? And that was the blueprint. We just kind of got together with a bunch of different people and came up with some really cool music. It sold and did okay, and we just did the second record, completed it over the summer, and now it's out. And it's a different group of people. So the concept is, it's the constant is me, and I'm working with different producers and musicians.
And the album that is out now, the second album, is called Relentless. And I have to say, I mean, your voice sounds just as good, if not better, than it did, you know, 30-something years ago. And how does one keep his voice in shape so much with going out on the road? And you know, I mean, you haven't been out on the road this whole year, but, you know, when you're out on the road and you're keeping your voice in shape, I mean, it sounds amazing. How does one do that?
Well, I made a deal with Satan, and
you know, it's funny. I have a picture down in my basement that I made a deal with as well. So,
yeah, Ronnie Dio introduced me to Satan a number of years ago, and no, not really. Gosh, I don't know. I've been working at it all my life. You know, and since I was a child. You know, training to be a musician, and just following that path. You know.
And, you know, you were going to be going out on the road. Well, you did do a few dates in the beginning of 2020. You were going out doing the 30th anniversary of the Empire album, as well as Rage for Order. And you were due to be here on the island. So what has it been like for Jeff Tate for the last year being in quarantine? And I'm sure, like many people that I've spoken to, this was probably the longest amount of time that you've had not playing music live.
Yeah, exactly right. Well, in 2019, I was home 23 days. So the rest of the time is, you know, spent traveling and on the road. And that's been my life since I was 21 years old, you know? So yeah, it's been an adjustment. And that, I don't mean to sound whiny, because we're all going through adjustments, you know, this last year.
Sure.
But I have to say, I never understood, you know, the frustration that, like, you know, that movie Groundhog Day, you know, with Bill Murray, you know, it's like that. I never really got it until this year. And, yeah, it's been challenging to find ways of dealing with that sameness and that monotony, you know. But I've done some really interesting things, like, well, I've written this album, Relentless, and then I've got three other records in the works, and, you know, I've been very busy and successful making music over the last year. But I've also done these really weird things, like my wife and I sold our house, and we bought a new house, and we moved all our stuff, and then I had like four storage units worth of, you know, just stuff I've been collecting over the years and meaning to get to, but never having the time to do it. Got rid of all those and downsized, and just really cleaned up a lot of the mess in my life. Really, I spent an amazing amount of time with my grandchildren, who I never spend time with. You know, I see them all the time now, and so that's really great.
Would you say that you missed the road, or are you happy that you had all this downtime?
Well, I appreciate the road even more now. You know, when you do something all the time, you get used to it, and you just, I don't know, you don't
take it for granted.
Appreciate it. Yeah, you take it for granted, you know? And so now, I guess I don't take it for granted so much. I appreciate it, and I will appreciate it, you know, by the end of the month when we start touring again. I'll look at it with a new look, it'll seem different to me, I'm sure.
It'll be a new vigor for you. I was going to say that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm looking at jefftate.com, and it looks like you're going to be going out. The first date listed is in, I think, Oregon, May 21st. Now, have you heard, are these shows going on? Because, you know, like we mentioned in the beginning of our chat, there aren't really any concerts here in New York that I have seen that aren't starting until at least August. Everything seems to be on par with you getting out at the end of this month?
Yeah. You know, it's a state-by-state issue. You know, different states are opening, you know, with different rules at different times, and it's country-by-country, too. We couldn't actually leave the United States except for going to Mexico. We couldn't even go into Canada, you know, for months and months and months, and now our European friends couldn't come into America at all. They had to go to Mexico first, you know, which is weird. So you quarantine in Mexico for 2 weeks, and then you can come into the United States. You know, it's weird that they chose Mexico as the only country that allows, you know, people in, but they did. And I guess my point is that, yeah, these shows are playing. The one in Oregon, it's actually on the Oregon-Washington border. It's called the Dalles. And it's the first time I've played there, but the show is definitely happening. And then we're doing another one in the Seattle area a couple days later. But, you know, over the course of this last year, I have done a few live shows. Like, I played out in Florida at a show there, and then a show up in New Hampshire back in December, January. They were opening at limited capacity. But, different places are opening at different times. It's exciting.
What was that like? Because, I mean, I've spoken to a few people during the pandemic, and I don't think anybody that I've spoken to has played, you know, shows in front of a crowd. So the first time you got out there, which was at Florida that date, what was it like, you know, to be out there after months of not and all this weirdness going on? Is it like Twilight Zone-esque or?
Florida is, you know, kind of a...
They're like the Wild West.
It's like, screw you, we're going to do what we want. You know? And you ever heard those, a Florida man was arrested yesterday. Well, you know, there's a Florida man meme, you know.
Yeah, there's a Florida man website, yeah.
Yeah. And but this place out in Clearwater that they play regularly, it's called Ruth Eckert Hall. It's a beautiful state-of-the-art concert performance venue. And they went to, like, great lengths. They spent $500,000 on revamping their ventilation system, put a new state-of-the-art filter system in and everything. And they had we could only play half house, you know. That was the rules. But that was great. I mean, the place was, you know, jumping. And people were so happy to be there and experience, you know, adult life again, you know.
I can imagine, yeah.
In New Hampshire, we played the Tupelo Music Center there, and they had different rules, of course, being a different state. They could only play like quarter capacity. And so to make it all work, we had to do one day, two shows in one day, which I tell you, that's challenging for me.
Sure.
An afternoon show and then an evening show. And it's like I haven't done that since probably 1983 or 4. Because that used to be kind of common in Japan, you'd have to do that. But now, at my age, at 62 years old, that's pretty darn challenging, I tell you.
here we are now in the beginning of May, and the shows are going to be starting. And you're slated to come here back to Long Island, a reschedule date. You're going to be at the Stereo Garden, which is in Patchogue. And
yeah.
It says here on November 13th. And it's going to be you doing the Empire album. It also says Rage for Order. So both those albums in its entirety. Are you still going to have any room for your Sweet Oblivion stuff? Will people get to hear some new Jeff Tate?
No, I'm not going to play that stuff live. And probably not going to play it until we do a third album. Right now, I'm booked up until 2023.
Wow!
So I've got no room for anything. You know, it's going to be road work.
You know, I mean, I wonder. Like, I think that's a smart thing that you're playing all the songs that people know, because you could be one hand and another hand. You know, maybe people coming out, getting reintroduced to life, want to come out and they want to hear the songs that they know and love, as opposed to sitting there and hearing something new. But then again, you know, being reintroduced to life, maybe people have a different appreciation for, you know, this is a new song. I'm not going to go to the bathroom on this one. I'm actually going to stand here and watch it. So it could work out in both ways, actually.
Yeah, I actually never even thought of it from that perspective. Pretty much honoring all of our commitments and relationships with all our promoters that we do business with, you know, and have been doing business with for years. These are all shows that were booked and they've rescheduled and rescheduled, trying to make it all work. And, you know, a lot of people that I work with have really, you know, gone the extra mile, you know, organizing all this stuff. It takes weeks and weeks of organization to put on a tour like this. And, this was the tour that we had planned on doing, you know, all through this last year.
Mm-hmm.
So we're gonna pick up and where we left off and continued on and honor our commitments and also our commitments to the fans that want to come and experience those two albums.
And I'm sure that you've had numerous discussions with management and with promoters and with venues. I do still see on JeffTate.com that you are offering meet and greet packages. Now, how is a meet-and-greet package going to be worked out in a, I guess we'll call it a post-COVID world or a middle of COVID world?
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll have measuring tapes and taped off areas, gloves and hand sanitizers and, you know, face masks, of course. And we were doing that actually before the tour was postponed back in March, keeping, you know, social distancing between people. And people weren't shaking hands anymore. You know, they were just doing the elbow bump, you know, that kind of thing. But we're keeping the meet and greets to a minimum.
Well, that's good. I think, there needs to be some sense of normalcy. And when Jeff Tate comes to Long Island, I'm sure that some people will be more than enamored to come out and just
and
have a good time.
Long Island is a crazy place for rock music, I tell you. It always has been. And even though, you know, the venues change over the years, like I think I've only played Stereo Garden maybe once before. The venues change, but people still come. You know, they come to the, because they want to hear the music, you know.
Well, I know a buddy of mine I go to the gym with, Larry. He talks about some legendary shows that he saw you with Queensryche at L'Amour's back in the mid-'80s.
Yeah.
So do you remember your first experience playing in New York, whether it was in Brooklyn or Long Island or, you know, any of the five boroughs? What was your first experience?
Oh. Well, it was with the Hometown Boys, you know, Twisted Sister. We were on tour with them in 1983, and that was our first tour, our first experience touring, in Long Island and New York, and the East Coast in general. Never been there before, so they turned us on to the area and were kind enough to share their audience with us. And great band, great bunch of people to tour with.
Well, I'm very good friends with Mark Mendoza. In fact, we do a video podcast every Monday night at 7 p.m. called Rolling With. And we'd love to have you come on one time, if possible. I know your schedule is going to start to pick up at the end of the month.
Mark Mendoza, well, you know, one of the great things about touring is you meet some exceptional people, you know, in different bands that you play with and perform with. And, you know, Twisted Sister was the first band that we toured with in Queensryche, you know, and they left a lasting, indelible impression on us. They were so kind to us and supportive, and then years and years later, 25 years later, something or more, we were booked to play a festival in Spain, and we showed up and to do the festival, and none of our gear came. It went to some other country.
Oh man, that's
we were so there. There we were. Ready coming to do a show with no equipment. And luckily, Twisted Sister was on the bill, and they heard what our situation was, and they immediately came to our rescue, gave us guitars and amps and drum kit to play on, and let us use all their gear. You know, it was very cool of them to do that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, all the guys are great. Mark is Mark acts like he's a big tough guy, but you know, he's got a good heart.
He is a big tough guy. He's a scary motherfucker.
Don't blow up his head. Come on, we'll leave that alone.
When I first met him on the road, you know, he was standing there in all his
animal splendor,
his look, right? And he had the gigantic motorcycle boots on, and he's a big man anyway.
Yeah,
but he had the big gigantic motorcycle boots on and gave him another like 3 or 4 inches of height. He was like one of the biggest human beings I'd ever met at that time. I'm only like 5'9". I'm a short little guy, right? Craning my neck looking up at him as I'm shaking his hand, and his hand are so big, I felt like I was a child, you know, shaking his hand.
Most of that was his hair. Don't let it fool you. His hair gave him about another 7 inches at the time.
Yeah. He was a giant to me. And I'm like 21 years old. You know, I'm a new kid on the block at that time. So I was very impressed by him.
So your first memories with the Twisted Sister. That's great. And then you're going to be back here. Maybe we'll get Mark to come out and see you when you come back to Long Island.
That'd be great.